Good to have you all here this evening, and I want to say a special word of thank you to Pastor Geese. It's been kind of an interesting week, and I spent a few days in the hospital and stuff, but the pain is under control now, and I'm glad for that. It's just those antibiotics, if you've ever taken those things, they have a tendency to give you a queasy stomach and stuff like that. So tomorrow's my last day on the antibiotics, so thanks be to God, right? I can have that behind me. Anyway, the big thing tonight, of course, is it's Advent 2 celebration, and then after our worship service tonight, we're going to have an Emmanuel huddle, a time for information sharing and conversation regarding our ministry. And you saw what Don had put up on the screen a second ago. And we're going to be talking about a first look at the mission plan for 2022. And that usually doesn't happen until January and the annual meeting, but we're ahead of the game this year. Because next year, as you know, the 25th of February is our 10-year anniversary. Emmanuel turns 10, so next year is going to be a celebration year, and if you are able to stay, please stay for our huddle. We'll try to make sure that we stay on track so that it doesn't get to be late for you, but it'll be good conversation, and you'll get a chance to hear some updates regarding what's happening on the church land also. Okay, I think the announcements are pretty clear cut. They're in the bulletin. You can read those. Don't forget to pick up a copy of the newsletter for December, the prayer calendar for December, and also your keepsake Emmanuel Christmas ornament. Those are all available in the back on the greeter's table. Let us pray. O faithful and loving God, we praise you for your tender compassion and give you thanks for your steadfast love for us and all creation. Bless us who see the light of this wreath, that we may be strengthened by the hope of your advent among us and live toward the completion of all things in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As the Advent candles are lit, we'll sing together our Advent song. We rise as we are able for our brief order for confession and forgiveness. We worship as we live in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins unto our merciful Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together, Prepare the Royal Highway. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 66. We will read it responsively. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name.
Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot.
There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip?
For you, O God, have tested us.
You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net.
You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads.
We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you.
That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
Our second lesson is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for our gospel acclamation.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch, ruling a quarter of that area of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds came, asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the Spirit's consolations through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You brood of vipers. That's our Advent message in many ways. I didn't read it that way before, did I? That's John's expression. Hunker down and be afraid. You brood of vipers, you nest of serpents, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In a sense, it's a question. How dare you be scared? And John quite simply says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, yield a harvest of that turning back from where you've been and where you're going to where you ought to go. Because you can't keep living like this. You can't keep living like this. God doesn't owe you anything. If Abraham's children weren't here, God would raise them from the stones. God doesn't need your help. It's not poor old God. It's woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, like Isaiah says in chapter 6. And I've seen God, and I'm dead meat, because I am a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips, and I can't keep living like that. The crowd said, so what should we do? You better share among yourselves and quit being selfish. If you have two cloaks, don't hoard. A few of us have more than two parkas. We live in Minnesota. I have about 3 or 4, depending on the level of cold, plus vests, and I can't ignore my sister or brother. And whoever has food is to do likewise. The tax collectors, those who got to purchase the rights to tax their fellow Jews, the ones who got to gouge as much as they wanted, said, "What do we need to do?" And he said to them, "Collect only what you're authorized." And soldiers. Soldiers said, "So what do we do?" Now, mind you, the distinction we make between soldiers and police is an artificial distinction in that day. People with weapons and armor and authority versus people who had none. And Jesus says, "Don't extort by threats or false accusation, and be content with your wages." Be content. How many of us are content? Now, those of us over 60, or maybe over 70, maybe we're more content than other people. I have no way of knowing. But I know in my 20s I was not particularly content. And in my 30s I was not particularly content. And in my 40s and 50s I was not particularly content. There are large parts of my life where I'm not content today, notably about my wife's health. Content. We're reminded that how I feel and what God is doing are not connected. I had a 2-hour counseling workshop this noon from 11 to 1. And boy, I was struck with some of the thoughts that I heard. I want to get further licensure so I can be more than just a pastoral counselor, important as that is. Being content, that's not really part of our human makeup. We read in Malachi chapter 3, "Behold, I send my messenger," Malohi in Hebrew, my messenger, my angel, if you will, the one who speaks for me. "And he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly," then we hear the word swiftly later, "will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger," Malach, "the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of Tzavaot," in Hebrew, "of armies." This is not a quiet, gentle comment. This is the Lord of armies coming. And the subtext is, you should be scared. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, a purifier of silver. Have you seen silver being purified? It ain't pretty for the silver. And it lasts, and the dross is skimmed. And then we have a line from Handel's Messiah, which we usually don't hear. "And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like silver and gold. And then they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord. as over against today, as in the days of old, as in former years, and not now. Then Malachi continues, I will draw near to you, says this Lord of armies, for judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, the false swearers, the oppressors of the hired, the widow and the fatherless, the ones who thrust aside the sojourner. They don't fear me, says the Lord. And the subtext is, and they should, says the Lord of armies. Six times in the compass of 12 verses, we hear this Lord of armies. My rule of thumb after two, I better pay attention to repetition. For the Lord does not change. And the subtext is, and you must. You cannot continue living as you have. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return. Change. And I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. But you say, how shall we return? And the prophet speaking for God says, will man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes, in your contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of armies. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer, the locust, for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the fields shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of armies. Then all nations, and that could be translated equally, all heathen will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of armies. The covenant is one God has given, and we find that covenant referenced in Malachi 3:1. The covenant of which God is witness in Philippians 1:8. God is my witness, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God, who is our Father. We like things as they are, don't we? Change is not just something that 12-year-olds don't want to see happen. Change is not just something that, you remember when you were 18 and 19 and you wanted change, but you wanted it the way you wanted it? Change, just like everybody else, was changed. I want to be different, just like everybody else. Think back to your high school years, you who are below high school, and look ahead to your high school years, you who are below high school. We don't like change. Change and decay all around I see, says the hymnist. God does not change, but he calls us to change. The one who does not change calls us to repent and to prepare the way of the Lord by walking in it. By turning back from where I've been going and where I am, where I ought to be going. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We sometimes regard that as an unambiguously good thing. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I think we are innocent and overly nice when we believe that. Every tree that does not bear good harvest is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the people to whom John the Baptizer spoke could hear in a way we have a hard time hearing. So what do we do? And they knew it had to do with action. And John says you can't live like that. You have to share with your brother and sister in need, whether it's clothing or food. And the unclean tax collectors, those who were regarded as quislings, working with the Romans with Roman muscle, said, "Teacher, what shall we do? Only collect what you're authorized." And soldiers. Luther wrote a treatise entitled, "Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved." He said, yes. Soldiers came, Roman soldiers probably, and said, "What do we do?" And Jesus said, "Don't extort by threats or false accusation, and be content." We read in Luke 1, when Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us, a symbol of power, in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." We are called this evening, this Advent, to remember. A common theme of Isaiah, remember, Zachar in Hebrew. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. And therefore, we are to fear and love him. Remember who God is. And remember who we are. And what we are called to be and to do. Remember. Remember with the knowledge of salvation which he gives to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, giving us life. Jesus Christ is our life, and in his light we walk, either toward him and toward salvation, or away from him, and into darkness, and wailing, and gnashing of teeth. God bless us this Adventide, that we hear with seriousness what our Lord says to us about our lives and about his call to faithfulness, and that we come with repentance and joy to the God who came to us in Christ Jesus, the one who lives and reigns, rejoicing over us as we walk with him to life everlasting. And all God's people say, Amen. Please rise. Our hymn is "On Jordan's Banks." ¶¶
We continue our worship with our confession of faith. During the season of Advent, we're using the Nicene Creed. Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we are not passing the offering plates, but there are many ways that we can bear fruits worthy of repentance. Thank you, Pastor Valdemar, for sharing the gospel tonight and lightening my load today. I appreciate it very much. And then there's also a basket in the back, so you can grab, put your offering in there if you wish also. Let's continue with our closing prayers. As we await the coming of our Savior in mercy and majesty, let us pray to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and for all people according to their needs. Thank you, dear Father, for promising that not one of your lambs, tended by your Son, the Good Shepherd, shall be lost. Thank you that Jesus levels mountains, fills in valleys, and takes every road until he finds and saves them. Unite us with him, so we too may seek the lost and lead them to his embrace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your church the herald of good tidings, fearless in proclaiming your word. Through it, grant your comfort to those who are lost and afflicted by sin, sorrow, and suffering. In everything it says and does, may your church bear fruits worthy of repentance and constantly and faithfully announce, "Behold, here is your God." Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remove the burden of pain and sorrow from the backs of all who suffer, especially those that we bring before you tonight, Lord. We pray for Bob and Marcia Harms, for Elaine Jacobson and Margaret Quam. We pray for Don Wanick and his continued recovery. We pray for Eric Miller, for Deb Spitzer, for Karen Otis, for Sheldon Bieri, for Ariana Pananen, for Melody Graves, for those that we name now in our hearts. Bring them into a broad and spacious place. Let them rejoice in your goodness and give thanks for their deliverance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, we entrust into your never-failing care our beloved dead. Comfort those who grieve, those whose grief runs so deep. Revive our spirits, direct our days and our deeds in your peace, and make us abound in every good work. Strengthen our hearts with the gift of your Spirit, so that we may be blameless at the coming of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise as you are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our ascending hymn, Savior of the Nations, Come. In peace, serve the Lord, celebrate the miracle of Christmas. Jesus is my miracle. Thanks be to God. We'll take about less than a 5-minute break, so if you have to use the bathroom or something, you can do that, and then we'll reassemble in